Today's message is about how to accomplish what you have never seen before. That's a concern when you're so loud that it sounds like you got a microphone. Are you with me? Amen. How to accomplish what you have never seen before. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's get started with this. I'm going to ask that you're going to need notes and be helpful to use a Bible as well. Not passing out any handouts today, but this, though I'm probably starting at a high point, it's just kind of a really just a genuine, authentic day to really have an opportunity of God. Today is just one of those opportunities. And I've already given myself 3 weeks to accomplish this particular message and or series of a couple of messages. And so I really just want to invite your attention and do everything you can, according to Dr. McLeod, to really focus in on what you're supposed to see. Amen? Really, really focus in and do not allow text messaging or do not allow maybe some idiosyncrasy of somebody on your row or myself or some grammatical mistake or something like that not to distract you from giving yourself full attention. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So here we go. This is the account of the transitional time of a lost screen. This is the account of the transitional time of Israel going from wilderness to promises. It is the story of Joshua. Therefore, this has the inert potential to be powerful, prophetic, and profound when properly parallel to the pertinence of you and any of our lives. I honestly have prayed to God to preach this paradigm shift to myself.
Amen.
Amen? There is one congregational member here today by which is absolutely fully a listening member, as well as one that's also has the pleasure and the opportunity to speak. And I'm going to invite you in, whoever would like to listen, and lend your soul at the same time, because I may cry a lot. I may yell a lot, but I can assure you that this, for me, is a very genuine and authentic day. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
So it says here, Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 9, it says here, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." Verse 7 says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Everybody in God's house said amen.
Amen.
So what I like you to do swiftly, can I get you to, this is not on the screen, it wasn't prepared, it happens as the Spirit of God is present. And the Spirit of God is very present in this place and was certainly invited and ushered in through the dynamic and the enormity of pure hearts that worshiped him.
Amen.
We did it through song. And if this sounds strange, I want you to understand that God the Father, God the Son, Emmanuel, the Lord with us, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is present and residing not only in us, but in the midst of us. Are you with me?
Amen.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. To 1 Samuel 10, for many of you biblical and scriptural adept members understand the verse that we're going to, but I believe, and I'm trying to follow what I heard the Holy Spirit say in this one verse. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. Other versions all coordinate around the same thing. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. It says this. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Come on, somebody. Amen. Listen, this is an immediacy. God does things gradually, God does things immediately, and God does things eventually. And in this particular case, the scripture said that the Spirit of the Lord would rush in and come upon him. Now, they couldn't have the Holy Spirit necessarily remaining on the inside of them because Jesus had not fulfilled the accomplishments of the cross yet. But we see the Holy Spirit at work here and came upon him and transformed him. Say transformed. Turned him into another person. And in worship, as Sister Amanda and as all of them and Sister Tynez and as Brother Duet began to speak and minister and share and all of that was taking place, I prayed this prayer. I said, God, the man that I came in here as, I want to leave a different man. Hallelujah. So, with that being said, here's our prayer. Father, we pray that we've come in here as a certain person, but we believe your Spirit is present. We ask that the Holy Spirit would come upon us, up upon us, be a catalyst and an initiator to transform us into another person, the person you divinely intended us to become. We know that it's an eventual work. We know that it's a gradual work. But begin a new thing in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a little history and background. Are you with me? You see, Moses, at this particular time, Moses' name means drawn out, get this, or born. So Moses' name means drawn out, which he was drawn out of the river, but it also means born. Isn't that interesting? So here it is, born. He is the great Hebrew national hero, leader. He's the author of the first five books of the Bible. He's the lawgiver and prophet. I want you to understand that this Moses is a big deal. Are you with me?
Amen.
Say Moses is a big deal.
And
Moses being a big deal, he is the founding, not fondling or whatever that says, prince. He is the founding prince of Egypt, born of the Hebrew people, but was raised by the Egyptians. Are you with me? And therefore, as a prince, we understand that he was a friend of the people. He was a friend of the people. He recognized his roots. In a very unique situation, it was still, though he was raised as an Egyptian, his mother and his sister was able to take place and his brother to participate in raising him. Amen. And as a result of that, we understand that he recognized when he got of age that he knew who he was. And therefore, he was a friend and he found something inside of him always wanting to protect them. Are you with me? He cited, according to Hebrews chapter 11, he'd rather be with the people of God than to receive the pleasures of sin for a moment. Are you with me? And it becomes something that's inside of us that we choose what's right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We may not even know a whole lot of Bible, but there's something in us that knows what's right. Are you with me? That's Romans chapter 2. So we see here that he, once he killed this guy and he thought he was going to be found out, he ran to Midian where he got married. He was there 40 years and it was a refuge. It was there that he received the call of God. The call of God of why he was originally created and divinely made and why he was drawn out and why he was raised in the midst of this educational system and a background. And he knew the fluencies of Egypt and he knew how to speak with Pharaoh, who at some point was his stepfather or something of that nature. And so here it is in the step grandfather. So in the presence of all of this, here he is. He now is a refuge in Midian. And then he comes back as a leader to Israel. Are you with me? Now, this is really, I think, decently communicated teaching here. I'm one of such that likes you to say amen.
Amen.
So we see that he's the leader. So Moses at this time is a good way to look at him as we go back and look at Deuteronomy 34, which is before Joshua chapter 1. If I'm confused, Sister Doctor, am I making sense over there? Okay, good job. Deuteronomy 34 comes before Joshua chapter 1. We read Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. Now we're going back to take a look at the background that leads us up to that text. Is everybody with me? So Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 4 to 12. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." Isn't that something? So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, this translation says not dim, and his vigor unabated. He hadn't lost any strength, so he didn't die of some like old age. Are you with me? Or that he feigned. So if he didn't feign, and since God is of no partiality, I understand there's a promise unto us, we don't have to die going out sorrowful.
Amen.
Can I get any help?
Amen.
So it says, "And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. They mourned." This was of the Hebrew custom that they mourned. Great teaching we could go into further about mourning. But then it says, "Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel." Praise God.
Amen.
In other words, Moses was a big deal. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Moses was a big deal." Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I could preach that. Amen. How do you understand you could not talk about Moses because you could get a disease? Y'all had to read scriptures about that one, right? You just not going to lay your mouth, you know, on Moses, right? You're not going to do something shady about Moses, right? Moses was a big deal. And I need us to get this and capture this understanding, because when we understand the magnitude of who Moses was, whoever was going to be his successor was going to be something else. If Moses was of this great of a deal, whoever was going to come after him must be somebody else. Are you with me? Good job. So here we go. Israel at this time, we're just going over the history and the background. Israel at this time was without a homeland for 400 years. Not only were the children of Israel without a homeland for 400 years, but they lived in bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptian pharaohs. They lived in slavery. And therefore, can you just give a sense, an imagination of what it means to have generation after generation after generation enslaved and in bondage to someone else? Are you with me? How many understand after X amount of years, it's no longer even slavery, it's now habitual. Mm-hmm. It's a form of oppression where, you know how they do the dog, where they put the dog on the chain, but then eventually they wean him and they don't even put the chain on the dog, but he wasn't even go after any food or anything. You see, when you can enslave a mind or a people to begin to be so enslaved by anything that you no longer have to have an external parameter on them because they themselves become their own inhibitor. Are you with me? So therefore, it says, they wandered aimlessly. Just the history of Israel. They wandered aimlessly. Now, I want you to catch these two things. They went from bondage to wandering. Notice those two contrasting states. Kind of like the same. They went from bondage into aimlessly wandering. So here it is. They aimlessly wandered in the desert for 40 years. God, though, remained faithful, and Israel did too mostly. God remained faithful, though they themselves were running around aimlessly. Some people, you know, went astray and people did die and they got bitten by serpents and the ground just opened up and swallowed up some folk. You know what? But God himself provided them miracles of manna. They didn't, you know, nobody had to go to the shoe carnival to get some new sandals. They were cared for. Are you with me? So therefore, we see now they are at the threshold. Say threshold. Threshold. Now, all of this sounded really historically correct, which I hope, you know, outside of the shoe carnival, it is. Are you with me? But the point I want you to understand is I want you to begin to somewhat gain knowledge biblically, but began to shift and see yourself spiritually. Because it says here, now they are at the threshold of experiencing the fulfillment of God's promises. They go from bondage to wandering. And from wandering, now they're at the eve, the threshold of receiving the fulfillment of what's been promised for over 400 years. Are you hearing me? And I know many of you all are not in here. You all are not even 40. Are you with me? And so I know God has promised you some things, but I'm here to tell you, you don't have to wait 400 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Israel at this time, we've talked about Moses. Now we're talking about Israel, but it can be summed up in Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you and you shall tread upon their backs. Our God got our back. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you have to fight every battle. Begin to quote the word of God. This is not my battle. This is the Lord's. Why is it the Lord's? Because I belong to the Lord. And because I belong to the Lord, I'm a step back. The Bible says in Romans 12, vengeance is mine. Listen, we don't have to take vengefulness on anybody. Our God's got our back and our front side, both sides. We're wrapped up and taped up, stapled up all the way in him. And why is that? Because he's on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Turn to your neighbor and say, stop fighting. Stop fighting. All on your own. All on your own. Hallelujah. Joshua at this time, Jehovah is the help. Joshua's name means Jehovah is his help. Didn't I just say that, Yvette? Joshua's name means what? Jehovah is his help. And so therefore, he is the son of Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim, the successor of Moses is as the leader of Israel. Now, it's interesting that some theologians, and I don't know if I'm totally bought into it yet, but here's the thought. He was born a slave. So it doesn't matter where you start at. God can get you out of it and bring you into the promises. So it says he was born a slave in Egypt. He must have been about 40 years old at the time of the Exodus. So here it is. He was born into slavery. He was born into something. And the scripture tells me that I was born and shapen in iniquity, and even in sin did my mother conceive me. I came out and I was Bebe's kid before I ever did anything wrong. Hallelujah. And how many understand, if I'm not careful, some of them ways might slip back up on me. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Think of some more Bebe kids in here. He must have been about 40 years old at the time of the Exodus. Is anybody learning anything? Joshua at this time, attached to the person of Moses. He was what? He was what? Attached to the person of Moses. He led Israel in the first decisive battle against Amalekites. He accompanied him part of the way when he ascended Mount Sinai to receive the two tablets. I just want to kind of establish with you something about the nature and character of Joshua, and as well as how you become a successor. You see, Joshua always, the Bible calls him his assistant, his servant. King James says he's his minister. And notice that wherever Moses was, he was attached to him. And as a result of being attached to him, he may not always go directly to where he was, but he would be halfway between the people and Moses. In other words, he was always watching out for the leader, and he was attached to him, watching whatever God did with him, but always ready and quickly to go back to the people. When he was Moses was all the way up on the mountain, we understand he was about halfway on the mountain. We even see when we go to the next point, he was in the tabernacle and he was around the tabernacle. And when Moses left the tabernacle, he refused to leave. And that's the type of people God wants us to be, that we never get enough of the presence of God. We never get enough of the hunger of God. We never get enough of God coming down in fire and speaking his voice to us and wanting to just spend time with us. I don't need God to be my Santa Claus. I need God to be my present man. Amen. Hallelujah. He was also one of the 12 who were sent on by Moses to explore the land of Canaan. And only he and Caleb gave an encouraging report. You see, the revival in Moses' life was an example to Israel. In other words, you remember how he would go out to the tent of tabernacle and the fire would come down and visit with him in the most holy place. And the Bible says, and we read it, that God would speak to him face to face. You see, that's the type of relationship that gives a depiction of what God wants us to have with him even yet today. That we've sensed so closeness, such a nearness of God, that I speak to him, not like I got to be on call or I've got to be at a busy signal or when I call God, he goes straight to voicemail on me. No, 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 no. My God is with me. My God speaks with me like this, you know, like they sing in the songs, and he walks with me and he talks to me and he tells me I am his own. And I've come to believe, even in this message, there's not enough times that God can tell you that he loves you and that you are his own. There's not enough times that God can tell you that he loves you and that you are his own. I am convinced that God wants to tell you today, some 3, 5, 16 people walk out of here today and believe truly that God loves me. No, not the world. He loves me. Amen. And he's not against me. He is for me. He's not fighting against me. He's not mad at me. He doesn't have a bat of Louisville or whatever y'all use today and ready to clobber me. My God loves me, and he is so full of love that he loves you. 8 billion people in the earth, and he loves you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, there it is. So, but the special example to being his servant, Joshua, was this. When Moses drew close to God, it also drew Joshua close to God. Did you catch that? How many know it's good to hang around people that's close to God? Turn to your neighbor and say, that's why I'm over here with you. That's why I'm hanging out with you. Amen. I want to be around people that's close to God. Are you with me? You know what? I don't think it should be turned midnight and I want to go be with people that's close to the devil. He was preaching so well. He was such a nice pastor. I liked him into that part right there. Hallelujah. So what we can do here is this. To understand the history and background of Joshua, can you remember now, if you all are good note takers, I know you all, many of y'all have above 3.2s, right? So let's go back over our history and our background. We've gone over at least the history and background of two so far, right? Right? Hello? We went over the history of Moses. That's my girl right there, I'm telling you. She is, but you know, deep down inside, you kind of rebellious, you know? You know why? Because she don't even like school, but super aptitude, right? Intelligent to boot. No, I'm not going to go to school. I love it. You know what I'm saying? How many know God's people can do anything? Amen? Listen to this. We went over the history and background of who? And then we went over the background and history of? I thought we went over, good job. Okay. So now it says, after the death of Moses, the servant. Now, remember Joshua, I mean, Moses is a big deal. Moses is a
big deal.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses is what?
Assistant,
servant, and minister. Moses, my servant, is. Now, just because somebody dies out or leaves doesn't mean God is done. Are you with me? Just because someone that you looked up to has gone on to be with the Lord doesn't mean that now the move of God stops. Just because somebody gets entrapped with some kind of bondage or maybe they're on a sidetrack or whatever the case may be, how many understand God is still ready to move on? So here it is. Moses was dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to this Jordan, you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them. To the people of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. Everybody with me? I hope you're not bored. Verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. God giving it to them. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
God just spoke to them. This is what I've given you. This is what I told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told you you would go into Egypt and be over there 400 years. I told you it was going to come out of it. And I told you I was going to give you this land. And I am God, and I change not. And I am going to be right on what I promised you, what I said I will do, because my word and I are synonymous. I am holy, therefore I am integrated with my word. If I say it, it's the same as it done, because I am who I am. Everybody with me? So if God said it to you, it's going to come to pass, because God is God and he's not in contingency on if we fulfill it. He's contingent upon what he's made a covenant with, which is himself. Didn't look around. He looked around, couldn't find anybody. So he swore by himself. Why? Because he was the only one that knows that he's going to be faithful. He made a covenant. I'm going to accomplish what I said I'm going to do. And if he said something about this church, if he said something about myself, if he said something about your marriage, if he said something about your bank account, if he said something about your children, he is going to do it. Like Joshua had never seen before, parallel to us is this engaging, and relevant. Stay with me. You see, the name of the message is How to Accomplish What You Have Never Seen Before. Is everybody with me? I want to break this down a little bit. You see, Joshua had been in battles before, and they had won the battle. Are you with me? Joshua was in Egypt when all of the plagues happened. So he had seen these miraculous signs and wonders come from God. And it hit the Egyptians, but it didn't touch them. God himself was revealing to Joshua that I can do mighty things. And Joshua's testimony would be that he knew of what God did for Moses. I mean, he knew that whole generation was a genocide, and yet Moses came out of it. I mean, he knew this story. So therefore, all I'm trying to get you to understand is that Joshua had seen miracles, had won battles, but there was something that he was now being asked to do that he had never seen before. 400 years they was in slavery. 40 years they've been in the wilderness. They had never, ever seen how to go in and inherit a land that was not theirs. He had never seen it. He was even a part of the spies. So you could say, well, God has caused me to have dreams and visions, and I see what God wants me to become. True, but if you're not that yet, it's just like Joshua. He had a glimpse, but he did not have the possessions. He could have the prophecies, but he did not have the manifestations. He could have the prayers, but he may not have the answers yet. Is anybody with me? Joshua was being asked to do something that he had never seen before. And I have come here this Sunday. I believe this is a spirit of the Lord coming upon you and a transforming you into a new person to understand. I believe not just to Terrance Smith, but there's some women and some men and some college students and some people in this house that God has asked something of you, has called you into something, and you don't know how to do it. You haven't never seen anybody do it. You may be simple. It may be complex, but you've never seen it. You may know other families get it done, but your family has never done it. God is asking you to do something that you've never accomplished before. Amen. Say, I ain't scared. How many understand? There was some straight grammatical people struggling. Wasn't they struggling? You got to be careful what type of church you go to, amen? We'll make sure Pastor Jeremy comes up soon and gets this grammatical thing correct. Are you with me? So here's what's engaging and relevant. Say engaging,
engaging.
And relevant. What that means is this is the stuff that applies to you and me. Okay? Some of us, God has asked us to own our own business or become an entrepreneur. And we have never seen it before. We have never accomplished it before. As long as you've known, your family back home has worked for somebody else. And now God's saying something to you. Come on, man of God. God's saying to you, come on, I want you to strike out. Come on, maybe you can't afford some business cards right now. Just write your name on some paper and give it to them, something. I say, I know some of y'all don't believe in that because y'all think, you know, y'all live in this high-tech age. And that's fine. But unless you take an action on it, it's not going to happen. Good preaching. Some of us in this house have tried for years to get pregnant, or we're pregnant right now. Your little sister had a child, and your big sister had a child. Your mama had a child. You didn't get that one, did you? And maybe you think this is just, oh man, I've been waiting on this. But you've never had a child. How many understand there's testimonies in this room that you thought you was going to do it this way. And you, oh man, my baby's going to always look like this. Baby got to be 3 and told you they don't want to wear that. You're like, what? I've been dressing you like this ever since you was born. I don't like blue. Boy, if you don't put this blue on, how many understand that boy will get to school, nursery school, daycare, and give that thing away? Are you with me? You can put that orange in that box, if that in that lunchbox you want to. You better check with Charlie, his best friend. He ate that orange. Are you with me? Got some parents up in the house. Amen. That's not the way my child's going to be. Okay? Sister Anna's telephone number is 515. When you're in need of prayer. Listen, some of us in this house praying, seeking. Come on, it's time to start. It's time for y'all to start getting engaged here. Some of y'all praying and seeking and seeing and reaching for God, and you're waiting on an answer. You don't know when the answer gonna come. And some of us feel like this is long enough, Zach. I've been in this long enough. Brother Josh, I've been doing this long enough. I've been putting this money aside long enough. Come on, hodos. How can everybody else younger than us get a house? Come on, can I get anybody to say amen?
Amen.
I've been seeking. I've been praying in another tongue. I've been fasting 365 days. Lost a lot of weight in the process. Amen. Come on. You've never seen it before. Relationships. You want to be married. Right now, you know, we got people calling us and wanting to find out how to meet a godly man and how to meet a godly woman and don't want to go out and do it the world's way, but they just practically are not coming your way. Are you with me?
Amen.
You too want to be with somebody. I understand that. And you've never seen it before. You know what? I've never seen anybody go out and live a life that I was making some poor decisions and I wasn't really keeping myself like I should. Now, why would anybody want me? Maybe you've never seen that before. But what God has promised you and what God has prophesied over you and what God has said about you, He is the one who is faithful to the very end. He doesn't stop because of our failures. He doesn't give up because you messed up. He's not worried because you ran out of money. My God keeps His promises. Some of you at mid-age right now, think you're past that age. You think you're past that time, and there's not many people like that anymore. What about the people that you're seeking a degree, and you right now you're on TE? What about people you thought that was your major? You was raised to be this. You knew you were going to choose this. You wanted to be this your whole life. We went to the internship and found out, I don't want to be this. What about opportunities? What about positions? What about a make a life comeback? You've never seen it before. You've never seen somebody go to this great depth and make a comeback. What? It's because you've never seen it before. So how do I accomplish what I've never seen before? Some of us are hearing God and believing God, but you feel like you're unprepared. So how could God be telling me to do something that I'm not prepared for? What about this? Some of you don't even understand what it means to retire at that age. You've never seen anybody retire at that age. Many people with some certain families in here, they're still working today. Some people and grandmothers and things like that are raising children in here in this room today. It's all over. So how can you do it? You've never seen it before. Past failures, hurts and pains. It's a battle of the mind. And the question becomes, how can I do what I've never seen before? I've read these books. They tell me I've got to follow somebody that is an example. I've read these things that say, well, you got to get next to somebody that's already done it. But there's nobody in my life like that. So how can I do it? And when I try to get next to a certain person, they shun me away or look at me like I don't deserve to be in the same place as them. I don't know if I'm preaching to, but my God, I know what I'm talking about. When Joshua came up to this point and God knew that he had to do something that they had never seen before. They couldn't even ask their mama's mama, mama. 400 years is a long time. They don't even know when they were free. All they known was bondage, and all they known was slavery, and all they known was wandering. So how are we going to come to this place of doing something that I've never seen before? Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 says this: be strong and courageous. Say strong.
Strong.
Courageous.
Courageous.
Say it again. Say strong.
Strong.
Courageous.
Courageous.
You got to get some Baptists in you, somebody. My God.
strong and courageous.
Y'all understand Caleb's name means dog? Caleb's name means dog. Little dog. Chihuahua little dog. Y'all know what's up with Chihuahuas. Chihuahuas take nothing from nobody. You come over here, you gonna lose a toenail up in here. You come over here. Some of us need some fierceness in us. We need to talk like that. Gordon Lindsay of Christ to the Nations Collegiate Bible College says that a man ought to pray a violent prayer every day. We ought to come to the place where we violently seek the things of God. So the scripture says, no man, look at this, verse upon verse. I told you, 3 weeks message. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's point one. Come on, notes taken, not folded arms, notes taken. Look, this is straight scripture. You can check your own Bible. The first point is strong and courageous. So how do I accomplish what I've never seen before? Is that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You see, what happened from verses 1 to 9 is that God comes to Joshua after Moses was dead. So therefore, he cannot even depend on his mentor, his coach, and his pastor. He had to come to the place of hearing God for himself this time. Scripture, scholars say, theologians say, this was the first time that he had been talking to Moses about Joshua, but this time, God talked directly to Joshua himself. Therefore, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I say God's trying to build a courage in us. God's trying to build strength in us. Therefore, he wants us to be strong and courageous. Say strong and courageous.
Strong and courageous.
The truth of the matter is, the reason the revelation of God came to me about this is because from verses 5 to 9, God says 3 times, be strong and courageous. How do you accomplish something that you've never seen before? You don't need anything else. God said it. Be strong and courageous. It says, just as I was with Moses. It says, just as I was with Moses. What is that going to make him think like? That's going to make him think, wow, all those wonders. Man, we was trapped one time and there was people behind us ready to kill us and we could not cross what was in front of us. But I remember when God caused Moses to raise up that staff. And when God raised up that staff, the river parted. And if that's the way God's gonna be with me, I'm ready to get me a stick too. How many of you know I get tired of hearing the, you know, elder so-and-so prayed and they got healed. And Sister Amanda came over somebody's house and sang a soprano note and they coughed left. I get tired of hearing so-and-so got the 401k and they bank account so big that they had to give them another account. I want some of these things that are happening to other people to begin to happen to me.
Come on, Pastor.
Just as God, since God has no partiality, and he did it for them, then he can do it for me.
Amen.
I will be with you. God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. AJ, I'll be with you. Sister Axon, I will be with you. Mark, I will be with you. Aaron, God didn't say go back home. He said, I will be with you. I will be with you. Say, I'll be with you.
I'll be with you.
Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, shake their hand and say, God's going to
be with you.
God's going to be with you. God's going to be with you. Listen, it says this, I will not leave you nor forsake you. How many of you know some of us believe God will get with us, but when he really find out about us, he might jet. Right? Some of them feel like, oh, okay, cool. God's going to be with me. Man, I sense God, boy. Church was good today. And man, I was praying over my lunch and God just came in and fed me like a little baby. Boy, God was good to me. Uh-oh. I just told a lie. hey, God, where are you? No, God says, I am with you. I am not going to forsake you. That's why we serve a God that knows the end from the beginning. So before you did it, he already knew you were going to do it. So he came to you to stay with you when you did it. And after you did it, he stayed with you to let you know what you did didn't mess him up.
Come on now, Pastor.
That right, Brandon? Get out of that self-condemnation in Jesus' name. For Rab, lend your hand over to Brother Brandon and pray for him right now, my brother. Please, if you would do that. Thank you, brother. Listen, God doesn't want you to get stuck at your inability, because when you do that, you're looking at yourself and you're not looking at him. Say it out loud. How will I accomplish what I've never seen before? Be strong and courageous. Say it out loud as you can. Ready, set, go. Be strong and courageous. Say it again. Be strong and courageous. Hallelujah. My God, I mean, understand, God has an inexhaustible vocabulary. He could have used any words he wanted to, but he took 4 or 5 verses to say the same thing 3 times. I think that's more about us than it is about him. He needs us to know what he wants us to do, where he wants us to be, what is our position. Oh my God, God's calling me strong. God's telling me to be courageous. If God's saying that about me, then I can be strong. I can be courageous, because God is not a liar that any man. God wants you to know, if he said you can be strong, you are strong. If he said you can be courageous, you can be courageous. Not because of your muscles, but because of his strength. Listen, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Read it out loud. Ready, said, read. Now he's putting extra words on it. No, you've never been married, Romina. Listen, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Thanks be unto God. Be strong. You can get the musicians in place. Be strong and very courageous. Michael, surely you and your family have gone through a lot, have had to transport to another state. Listen, be strong. Prentice, I understand there's things going on. Be strong and only courageous. Don't give up. Don't quit. God can get you to where he's prophesied you to go. If he promised it to you, then he will fulfill it. Somebody say amen. Listen to what it says here. Being careful to do according to all the law. Now, I want to say here, I'm not trying to emphasize on the law as the Pentateuch or those particular regulations that are of the Old Testament. What I'm trying to correlate this to, which is very important, brother, but I'm trying to get you to understand that Moses, my servant, commanded you. The part is, God wants us to lay a hold of his word. Say his word. And it says this, that Moses, my servant, commanded you, that the word of the Lord that he commanded, then also fulfill it. The word of the Lord that people preach to you, do it. Get a little inkling of it. Get a little gold nugget out of it and walk away, take it and put it into action. Why? It says, do not turn from it the right hand or the left. In other words, God's telling Joshua to be single-eyed focused. To be single-eyed focused. To be single-eyed focused. Don't be distracted. You know what? Don't be embarrassed. Like if you have to be like those racing horses where you put on blinders where you don't see anything. Listen, be single-eyed focused. And be focused towards what God says to you. Be so focused towards the word of God. Be focused toward the promises of God. Be focused towards the goodness of God. Be focused that he's a faithful God. Be focused that God said it. And be focused not on what you've done wrong, but be focused on what he did right. Be focused on it. Now, I can stop right around here. Listen, this is good. Notice it's in blue or turquoise, whatever it is. Get this. that you may have good success. Everybody say success.
Success.
Oh, we're going to tamper into the Hebrew people right here. I like this one. Notice the name of the message isn't how to be successful. Right, hear that? How many know that's like a colloquial? That's like if you go to a bunch of podcasts, you can probably see a good percentage of them say how to be successful. Are you with me? Notice that the name of the message was how to accomplish what you've never seen before. The message is not entitled how to be successful. Right? You see, that was really buried deep in my heart and in my spirit. And I'm not a super deep person. I know I talk funny, but I'm trying to learn how to talk clearer. But I'm going to tell you this much. God speaks to me. And I've got to learn how to obey him and learn how to be single wise. And you know what? When he told me the title the first time and I wrote it down, God wanted me to keep the same title. I was tinkering around with it. Oh, man, the scripture says success. I think it should be success. That makes more sense to people. God said, that's not what I told you. I told you to call it how to accomplish, right? Can I tell you once I got to digging and scratching and theologically and dictionary what it says? Do you realize that the word success is not even in it? Listen, the original Hebrew never gives you an understanding about success as a definition. It says it in Hebrew in Joshua chapter 1 about three times, but never is that the definition. That was done at the liberty of the translator. Do you understand that the word success in the scriptures actually says this? It says to act wisely. The translation is to act wisely. In other words, go back and look at the Hebrew. It says to be prudent. It goes back and says to be wise, to be prudent, to be like shrewd, to be, you know, have some good sense about the decision. So now the scripture actually says this. Do not turn from it, the right hand or from the left, that you may have or that you may act wisely. God wants us to learn how to act in wisdom, which is the other definition. He wants us to act wisely, to be to use the wisdom that he gives us. He wants us to be single-eyed and to do what he says in wisdom. I love it. Say, I love it. So that it's wherever you go. Say, wherever you go. I am nowhere near the end of the message, so I don't know where to stop. I think it's time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I really appreciate that. There is no way I can get you to where I'm about to take you, but you'll like it once we get there. Okay. Are you with me? Say, do it, Pastor.
Do it, Pastor.
Turn to your neighbor and say, he's going to
do it.
Uh-oh. I'm going to need your help in back. I need you to go to like the third to the last screen. Or go to the fourth to last screen, if you will. However you need to do that. Keep going. Keep going. Ooh. Keep going. Stop. Right there. Say how. To accomplish what you've never seen before. Listen to me. How to accomplish what you've never seen before. God caused a critical mass in 2 to 3 messages to come together. That's why it's going to take 3 weeks to preach this word. But I can guarantee you, this is the epic portion of it. This is the climactic epic point, the zenith of where it crosses at. This is where we meet with God at. And many of you all who are very well educated and read lots of articles and newspapers, I understand you already know about it. But my God, when this thing got revealed to me, I'm telling you, it is everything I know to Rand to be. I love it. I love it. I don't know how to accomplish what I've never seen before. I don't know how to accomplish what you are even asking of me. And that's going to have to be okay. I'm going to tell you why. Go to the next screen if you will. Because of the man in the arena. Teddy Roosevelt made this speech in 1910. And I'm telling you, he's speaking to Terrance Smith in 2014. Right in this place, right in this month, right with FedEx and right with BCC and right with MLT and right with Board of Directors and right with everybody else in my family and right at 403 Jeffrey Lane and right with me and Sister Anna and right with me and Luke at the Anna. This is where I've got to come to the place of how to accomplish what I've never seen before. Go to the next screen. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with the cold and timid souls who either know victory nor defeat. I don't know anything else, but I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna dare to do greatly. Be courage, be strong. Get in the battle. Show up in the arena. And even if you fail, our God is well able to pick you up again. Get back in school. Get back in that marriage. Go back to your employer. God is able to fulfill faithfully what he promised you.